Good morning again. It's great to be with you. Great to have this opportunity to study God's Word together. Suffering, troubles, trials, heartbreak, death, evil, natural disasters, tragedies, disease, pandemics, whatever words you want to use to describe it, or whatever label you wish to put upon it, we live in an imperfect world where bad things happen. And this morning, we could have used so many different titles for the sermon other than "When Troubling Times Come." We could have labeled it, "Why Do Bad Things Happen to Good People?" "Why Does Evil Exist?" "Why Does an All-Powerful, an All-Loving God Allow Evil?" "Why Is This Current Pandemic Happening?" And brethren, these are not new questions. These are questions that have been asked by our parents, by our grandparents, by great-grandparents, and oh, down the line. In fact, if you go all the way back to the book of Judges, in Judges chapter 6, we see Gideon asking this exact same question. You recall that an angel had appeared to Gideon, and Gideon asked this question, "Oh Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all of this happened to us?" In essence, Gideon asked the question, why are these bad things happening to us, God's people? And I believe this question is a legitimate question to ask if it comes from someone with an honest heart. The reason I say that is some today ask the question in an attempt to disprove the existence of God. And some ask it not from an honest heart, but from a heart seeking to push an agenda. These ask the question in an attempt to disprove the God of the Bible. That if evil exists in this world, then that must mean that God does not. But I would submit to you that actually the existence of evil proves the exact opposite of that. The existence of evil proves that God does exist. Because how do we know what is good or evil? Well, the only way that we know whether something is good or evil is we place it against a standard. And friends, I believe that standard is the Word of God. So asking the question this morning does not mean that we are questioning the existence of God. So why ask it? I think it's important that we ask and seek to answer this question because bad things do happen, because troubling times do come, and those things will sometimes shake our faith. And if we don't have a handle on this question, it could be that the storms of life that rage about us could make shipwreck of our faith. Troubling times are here. All you have to do is turn on a Facebook feed or flip on the news, and we see that so very clearly. And these times will either make us bitter or better. And it's my hope and prayer that they make us better. And I believe that if we place our trust in God, we can come out on the other side of this stronger than we went in. We will at some point find ourselves in the midst of a situation that seems almost incomprehensible. A situation that maybe surrounds us with darkness and one that we feel like we may never recover from. And I don't mind saying this morning that, friend, I don't have all the answers. I don't. I wish that I did. I wish I had a magic wand this morning that I could just wave and COVID-19 would just disappear and everything could go back to normal for us. But I don't have that. But there are some things that I do believe from God's Word that can help. Some things that if we will keep in our mind and put before our heart, that they will assist us in navigating these times and others like them. Five things this morning that I want us to notice. Five things that we need to remember when troubling times come. Number one, the first thing that we need to remember is that God is not the author of evil and suffering. God is not the author of evil and suffering. Many times in reference to the problem of evil and suffering, people ask the question, why didn't God create a world without pain and suffering? Well, that's a good question. And it's a question that has an answer. The fact of the matter is, friend, He did. You go back to the Genesis account in Genesis chapter 1, and you read through that account as God creates everything that we know and see. And numerous times you will see him saying at the end of each creation day, and behold, it was good. And then as you come at the end of the chapter, in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 31, then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. God had created it all, and he says that it was very good. You move into chapter 2 and you read a description of the garden. Friend, it was perfect. There were no disease, there was no death, there was no suffering, there were no problems allowed there. An all good God does not create an evil world. That's an illogical statement. And this is the first thing that we need to remember. It's not God's fault. We can't lay all of the blame at his feet. When I was living in Alabama, there was a radio show. I don't know if it's in syndication. It might play on some stations here, but it was called the Rick and Bubba Show. Rick Burgess was the name of one of the individuals that hosted the show. And in January of 2008, his son drowned in a tragic accident. His son was 2 years old. Of course, Rick and his family were devastated by that loss. And he took a little bit of time away from the program. But I never will forget one of the first episodes when he came back on the air. He was talking about the funeral and everything that had happened and how there were a lot of people as they filed through that they said, you know, well, God took him. And Rick made the statement on the show that, friends, I don't believe that God took my son. And he said, don't misunderstand me. I believe God was there to receive my son when he left this world. He said, but I don't believe that it was God who took him. He said, I believe Satan did that. You know, so oftentimes I think we place too much blame on God. God created this world perfect. He's not the author of evil and suffering. So that raises the question, if God didn't create evil and suffering, from whence did it come? Well, that takes us to our second point. And that is, number two, we need to remember that God has created us, all of us, with free moral agency. God has created all of us with free moral agency. You see, friends, this is where evil and suffering originated. It originated with man. What do I mean that we all have free moral agency? In other words, you and I have free will. We have the ability to choose. Now, God gave us free will, and that was necessary. If he was going to create beings that could truly love him and serve him. He could have created us as robots. That we didn't have a choice. When it was time to gather to worship, we just did that instinctually. That when we were presented with a moral choice to do something right or to do something wrong, that we couldn't help but make the right choice. Let me ask you this question. If you are made to love someone, do you truly love them? Well, you know the answer to that question. No. To love someone implies that you have that choice. And God gave us that free will, that ability to choose. So our free will was a necessity, but also, unfortunately, it can be a negative. What I mean by that is we can abuse that free will. If we can choose to love God and to serve Him, if we can choose to do those things that are morally right, then on the other hand, we can also choose to hate God and to reject Him and to do things that are morally wrong. And due to the rejection of God by man, sin entered the world. And through that sin came pain and suffering and death and all of the things that we now know all too well. In Genesis 2:17, we see God giving the prohibition in the garden to not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you flip to Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 6, we see that when Eve, the woman, saw that the tree was good for food and it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband and he ate. And by that, Adam and Eve broke God's law. And through that sin and death entered into the world. There are basically two kinds of evil in the world. There is moral evil, and then there is what we might call natural evil. Moral evil, of course, is sin. When we choose to do those things that are against the law of God, natural evil, we look at storms, the current virus pandemic that we're dealing with, things along those lines. And both of those can be traced back to the garden. You know, when the garden was first created, when Adam and Eve were living there, they didn't have to worry about a tornado coming through the midst of the garden. Those things didn't exist. But because of sin, because of the fall, because we now live in a fallen world, all of those things do exist. Our actions affect others. And others' people's actions affect us. In Lamentations chapter 5 and verse 7, Jeremiah writes, "Our fathers sinned and are no more, but we bear their iniquities." Now, Jeremiah's not talking about inherited sin or that a person is born guilty of the sin of their father or guilty of the sin of Adam. But he's talking about the fact that we bear the consequences of those iniquities sometimes. Sometimes someone else sins, we've done nothing wrong, but we bear the consequences of that. You think about someone who robs a convenience store. Maybe in the commission of that robbing, shoots someone. The individual who gets drunk and then gets behind the wheel and ends up hitting a car filled with another family, and some of them perish. You see, our actions have consequences upon others. These hands can either follow God and feed the poor, or they can reject God and take another human being's life. You see, it is our choice. We need to remember that God is not the author of evil suffering. That originated with us because God created us with free will. And then number three this morning, though suffering isn't good, God can accomplish good through it. Though suffering isn't good, we need to remember that God can accomplish good through it. We've noticed Paul's sufferings before. But Paul actually said, as he wrote to the church at Philippi, that those sufferings had actually helped to spread the gospel. In Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, "But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel." Think about the person who's lost all their material possessions in a storm, or maybe a fire. And through this, they realize, hey, here's what's really important. My family, we're still safe. Maybe an erring Christian contracts a terminal disease, and because of that, though, they realize their spiritual condition and they're restored. Although both are bad situations, although God did not cause either situation, good can be accomplished through it. In Psalm 119, in verses 67 and 71, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." We see numerous places in the Bible where those negative things can become positives if we will allow God to use them. I want to invite your attention to Acts chapter 27. In Acts chapter 27, we have an interesting event that takes place. Paul is on a boat. And in Acts chapter 27 and verse 41, we see that the boat struck a place where two seas met. They ran the ship aground, and the prow stuck fast and remained immovable, but the stern was being broken up by the violence of the waves. Now, I don't know about you, but that sounds like a bad situation. Especially someone like me who cannot swim very well. I told Micah a long time ago, if something ever happens as we're flying or we're on a cruise or what have you, if we wind up in the water, I can doggy paddle for about 5 minutes and then I'm out. I'm sorry, that's all I've got. And so we have a situation here where there are people in this boat. This boat is being just broken apart into pieces. But notice verse 44 and the rest. Speaking of those, the captain had given the order, "Those of you can swim overboard, swim to shore." And the rest, the me's that are left on the boat, they're like, "I can't swim. Not that far." Notice what happens. "Some on boards and some on parts of the ship. And so it was that they all escaped safely to land." Because that ship was broken apart, there were pieces that these individuals were able to grab a hold of. And they were able to use those things to make it safely to shore. A bad situation, no doubt, but we see good coming from it. Who is better equipped to help someone who has a spouse suffering during an extended illness than someone who has went through that themselves? Who better to help someone who has lost a child than one who has went through that terrible tragedy? Who better to help someone who is struggling with alcohol, with drugs, with the divorce of parents, whatever you want to say, who better to help than someone who has gone through that themselves? You see, God can take all of those bad situations and He can use them to accomplish good. If you don't believe it, friend, think of the worst event in the history of the world, the death of Jesus on the cross. An innocent man taken and beaten and nailed to that slab of wood. The suffering, the pain, the death, but the greatest good that was ever accomplished was accomplished through it. Bad things do happen. But God, although He does not cause them, He can use them to accomplish good. You know, it's interesting, you'll see a lot of Facebook posts that God is using this to wake America up. God is using this to wake the world up. I don't know. I think it's a little presumptuous on our part to say what God is or is not doing when He hasn't revealed that to us. But I do know this. God is taking this situation and bringing good about it. My Facebook feed is filled with preachers who have never before used technology to get messages out to the world. Man, they're there. And so God's using this, although it's a bad situation, He is using it to accomplish good. Number four this morning, a fourth thing that we need to remember. We need to remember that there is a day coming when suffering shall cease and evil will be judged. There is a day coming when suffering will cease and evil will be judged. Some ask the question occasionally, if God is all powerful, then why doesn't He just eradicate evil and suffering? You know, that's not a new question. Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes chapter 8 and verse 11, because the sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Solomon says, because people do evil and they're not struck right then, they just keep on doing it. But just because God doesn't execute judgment right at that moment does not mean that God will not execute judgment. In Revelation chapter 6, verses 9 and 10, of course, Revelation, a very figurative book, but we have depicted here those who had lost their lives in being faithful to God. And in verse 10, they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? Well, we don't have the answer to the question, how long, but we do know that He will. In 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, we read that the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We see that He is delaying in His love because He wants more people to come to Him. But we also know from 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. So there is a day coming when suffering will cease and will evil will be judged. That's why Paul could write in Romans chapter 12 and verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Friends, God will right every wrong, and He will reward every right. If not in this life, definitely in the life that is to come. We need to remember that God isn't the author of evil and suffering. We need to remember that God created us with free will. That God can use bad situations to accomplish good. And that suffering will cease one day and evil will be judged. And then finally, number five this morning, we need to remember that there is a day coming when suffering will seem as nothing compared to our reward. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verses 23 and following. We're not going to read that this morning, but I would encourage you maybe to go and to look at that at some point. Paul lists for us all that he suffered. Many call it the peril section in the book of 2 Corinthians because Paul lists all of these different perils, not pearls. He didn't have pearls, but perils that he went through. We think about all that Paul suffered. And then we go back a few chapters in this same letter, in chapter 4 and verse 17. And I want you to listen at what Paul says about all that he suffered. And y'all, he suffered so much. But notice what he says. 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light affliction. Y'all, Paul was beaten with rods. He was whipped. He was chased all along the countryside. He was stoned on one occasion. I don't know about you, but someone starts beating me with rods or throwing huge rocks at me, I don't consider that light affliction. But that's how Paul describes it here. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment. This was ongoing constantly. From the time that Paul became a Christian to the time he left this mortal coil, he was constantly dogged by the Judaizers. But it's but for a moment. And he said it's working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. How could Paul say that? How could he say all that he suffered was light affliction and but for a moment? He could say it because he looked past it. He looked past it and he focused on the reward that was waiting him at the end. We sang a song sometimes, heaven will surely be worth it all. Worth all the troubles that here befall. After this life with all its strife, heaven will surely be worth it all. Friends, is that just a song that we sing or are those words that we mean? In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, we noticed this a couple of Wednesday nights ago. The Hebrew writer talks about laying aside every weight and the sin which so easily besets us. And running the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Friends, we need to keep our eyes fixed on Him. How can we endure the trials of this life? We endure them with a realization that there is something better that awaits every child of God. You've probably heard the story before of the woman who, she had a terminal illness. She knew the time of her death was drawing close. And so she began to get affairs in order. She had the time and the ability to do that. And at one point she called the preacher to her home and she began to explain to him some of the verses that she wanted to be read during the eulogy and some of the things that she wanted said. And then she began to explain some of the things that she wanted to make sure that were in the coffin. She wanted her Bible to be placed in there and a few other things. And then she said something that startled the preacher. She said, and also I want you to put a fork. And he's writing all of this down and she's talking and he just stops and looks up. He says, did you say a fork? Like a fork? And she said, yes. And he said, I've got to ask, why a fork? She said, growing up and even up until I was no longer able to attend, she said, when we would have fellowship meals and you'd go to put your plate away, there was people there that would say to keep your fork because dessert was about to be served. You see, the best was yet to come. And she said that she wanted that fork in the coffin as a reminder to everyone that for her, the best was yet to come. Friends, for us, the best is yet to come. For the faithful child of God, we have a beautiful reward that awaits each and every one of us. What do we do when troubling times come? As I said at the onset, I don't have all the answers. I don't know why all the things that you may be dealing with have taken place. If I did, I would gladly tell you. But I do believe that if we will remember these five things, if we will keep them in mind, they will help us to remain to have a firm confidence in God so that we can obtain our reward. Friend, God is not the author of evil and suffering. He created all of us with free moral agency. Though suffering isn't good, God can accomplish good through it. There is a day coming when suffering will cease and evil will be judged. And there is a day coming when suffering will seem as nothing compared to our reward. But friends, all of that is contingent on us placing our trust and our faith in God. As I said last week, we're not going to offer an invitation. But friend, if you're not a Christian, we would encourage you to think long and hard about the condition of your soul. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're willing to turn from sin, to confess that belief, to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, please reach out and let us know. If you're tuning in from somewhere else, we'll put you in contact with some people where you're at. Friend, we want to make sure that you've done what you need to do to become a Christian. And then, friend, let's all live faithfully, placing our trust, our confidence, our faith in our Creator. Thank you so much.